Chav Gimel Halacha Kuf Lamed Zayin. Kuf Chav Gimel Halacha Kuf Lamed Zayin. B'chol D'rachecha Do'eyo. You shall know Hashem in all of your ways. Kol Adam Yirei Shemayim Kishahu Koyes Al Oivrei Avera Yishkol Kase. Hold back, restrain anger. A person should control his anger. A person should balance. I'm sure there's a good term for it. Balance your anger. When a person has to show that he's upset, he's angry, you have to test yourself. Why are you angry? I know every person. Let's say we have over here two people who do not like one another. And another person, now is a time when you are justified, he has committed a crime. And you're permitted to give him mussar. Problem is, it's impossible when you give him mussar for something that you are permitted and justified in giving him mussar, not to go a little bit overboard and let out some of your personal hatred, your personal bad feeling towards that person. So you always have to test yourself, why am I angry? Am I angry because indeed this other fellow is doing something that is incorrect? Or am I angry because I just don't like him for no good reason? And these two things, unfortunately, more often than not, they overlap. And it's very hard not to have a personal negius, a personal agenda in these matters. You shall weigh your anger, and not to get too angry, and not to, the anger should not be personal. Omar, he said to them, Tarbus anoshim chatoim. So what this is an incredible chiddush from the Sefer Chassidim. I'm not sure this is Chazal. This could be that this is his own idea, if I'm not mistaken. And he's saying that Moshe Rabbeinu, we all know, had a grandson that was a shamish, an administrator in a base Avodah Zarah. Okay, Pesel Micha. When Klal Yisrael, they went to the Yam, Don, one of the Shvatim took with one of the Shvatim, they took with them an idol. While they were also Shifcha Shebeya Mashallah Roy Cheskel Ben Buzi, he had in his pocket an idol, and that incredible chutzpah that take with yourself to take an idol into the Yam. And Hashem tolerated for the moment, he allowed it to happen, but when they came out on the other side of the Yam, when they came into Eretz Yisrael, eventually that Pesel, that idol, was the foundation of a church. A big church called Pesel Micha in Eretz Yisrael. And it was the source of Avodah Zarah, unfortunately, for many people in Klal Yisrael. Now, in this church, they needed a priest. They needed an administrator. So there was a job offering. Who wanted the job? Not too many people, because most people were very wealthy, were very successful. But there was one fellow that could not find a parnasa. And who was that? Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson. His own grandson had no parnasa, and this was the only job that was available, to be the rabbi in a church. Okay, to be the rabbi in a church. And it's shocking that Klal Yisrael was not able to put together a few dollars to feed the grandson of the person who they owe everything in their existence to. Okay, they owe their entire existence. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim, and Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to destroy the entire Klal Yisrael, and we're going to start all over with you. And Moshe said, no way. Moshe said, no such thing. Moshe was mispalled 40 days, 40 nights. Moshe brought down the Torah to Klal Yisrael. Everything that we have in Klal Yisrael is to the credit of Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet Klal Yisrael could not scrape together a few dollars to feed the grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was homeless, penniless, a pauper,
a collector. And after he got so many insults of going to shul and asking for handouts, the only job he can get was to be the priest, to be the administrator in a church. Worse than a church. The real little pestle nichas. So first, how could that be?
Most, he was the son of Chushin?
Gershon. No, he was not the son. He worked for Don. Don was his employer. No, he was the grandson of Moshe. Moshe was from Levi. Don was the one, the Shevet Don was the one who established this church called Pesel Micha. And they needed people. They needed to hire some hard-working men to man the facility. And who took the job? Who took the? They put an ad in the Yid, right? The Jewish press, full-page ad in the FJJ, looking for a good man to work in the church.
It could be different. They wanted legitimacy, and who would be better legitimized, like Moshe?
I hear what you're saying. That's why it was a miuchas. It took a salavetchik.
Yeah.
It took a salavetchik in order to show that it's legitimate. Maybe I'm not so familiar with all the sugi. It's the end of Shoftim. It's the end of, it's the very last parak of Sefer Shoftim, the story of Pesel Micha and Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson. Some of the commentators learned that this story, what? It is, yeah. No one argues on that point. That it was Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson. Some learn also, even though the story takes place, it's printed, it's in the very end of Sefer Shoftim, which would seem to indicate that it's not possible that Moshe's grandson can be alive at that point in time, because that was about 400 years after he came into Eretz Yisrael, a multum u'ucha b'Torah. And many commentators on the page here tell us that this story took place immediately when they came into Eretz Yisrael, and for whatever reason, it was put at the end of Sefer Shoftim. Not every perek in Sefer Shoftim is in chronological order. And the last parak that deals with this story of Pesel Micha in the church and Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson took place at the very beginning of the Tekufa when they came into Eretz Yisrael. It's a very great stain on our history that we allowed such a thing to happen, to let this person serve in the church. So there are a lot of different commentators. Some say that no, there were people willing to support him, but it was a sense of shame to take a handout. A person, he had a sense of shame. I'm not going to go take handouts, take advantage of the system, go on welfare to support myself. It was kedai to work in a church than to take a handout. And the commentators tell us that he didn't actually worship idols. He didn't worship idols. He was just an administrator. He swept the floors. And in fact, he made a big litzonis out of the entire thing. One of my favorite midrashim is he was the priest. And basically, he used it to his advantage. A woman would come into the church and would say, "What should I offer? Should I offer the God, the Micha, the Pesel Micha?" So Moshe grandson said, "You know," he would say to himself, "You know, I haven't had a good baked salmon in a long time." So he would say to the woman, "You know, I think the God today would like salmon because, you know, fish." He would give a whole Torah, and he would make a whole beautiful Torah that the God today is in need of a good baked salmon with a side dish of some potatoes and rice. And this is Alpina Soira. He would tell them a whole Torah, and the woman, he would convince her, and the woman would come in with a big dish of baked salmon and some potatoes and rice and orange juice, and he would say to the woman, "Excellent, you have served the God in the most dignified and beautiful way. You're dismissed. You can go home now and you'll be successful." And the second the woman would walk out, he would take out his handkerchief, wrap around his neck, and sit down and have a delicious lunch. This is the litzanis he made of the Avodah Zarah working there in this church. So he wasn't the Avodah Zarah, but he needed parnasa. So no, this was his parnasa, but it was still a very, very good disgrace. But the bottom line is, after everything is said and done, it is disgraceful that Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson should be Isaac in these things. The Sefer Hasidim is something that is shocking. I don't know if this is a chazal, if this is his own, it seems this is his own idea. It's a punishment to Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu did not control his anger. when Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven approach Moshe and says, we do not want to cross over the Yarden. We want to live here in this land, Be'ever HaYarden, because we have lots of livestock, and this is the perfect place to provide pasture for our animals. This is where we want to remain. We want to remain stationed. So Moshe Rabbeinu got very, very angry. And he felt that this would be a very great threat to the security and to the achdus of Klal Yisrael. He suspect they would not be willing to help their brothers fight and conquer the land. So he went into a tirade and he ranked them out. And he called them a tarbus anoshim chatoim. Tarbus means it's a hard word to translate. A culture of evildoers. You're a culture of evildoers. So the Ribbono Shel Olam said, Moshe Rabbeinu, you have overspoken. That's not the way you talk about my people. You don't go call them a tarbus. Tarbus has a connotation of an abundance.
Like
tarbus ra, that means an overabundance. A culture, Moshe Rabbeinu, you have misspoken. To say such harsh words, your anger was not justified. Out of punishment for speaking such harsh words, he suffered that his grandson, it would be said about his grandson, that he is a tarbus anoshim chatoim. What more can you say about a person who runs a church, who's the priest in the church of Pesel Micha, a disgraceful stain in Klal Yisrael? It was Mida Kineged Mida. It's an incredible shock. To say, to connect the dots and to say the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu suffered that his grandson was an Oisvarf, if you want to use the terminology of today, was OCD, OTD, off the derech, was because Moshe Rabbeinu was too harsh with Klal Yisrael and called them a tarbus anoshim chatoim. That's a very powerful musar.
Wasn't it because that Sipporo was bat Itro? And it's about idol worship.
That's not what he says. No, that's not what he says. The Sefer Chassidim says that's not. The reason why his grandson wasn't Ovid with the Tzar was because Moshe Rabbeinu, not because of Tzipora. Don't shift the blame. That's not what it says. It says here, look what he writes over here. A culture of evildoers. Ben Binoy, his grandson, Nase Eved, was a servant. Lefesel Micha. Okay, now he quotes the Gemara Baba Basra. I don't think Gemara Baba Basra connects the dots. The Gemara Baba Basra tells that this was a fact. Doesn't tell us the reason why, and here he's coming to connect the dots. Next, Avapi Shalashem Shemaim Hukas. What complaint is there against Moshe? Moshe was correct. Who would not justify Moshe's Musar? The people they want, you want to go abandon your brothers. You don't want to go cross over the Yarden and help conquer the land. This was the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim, to take you out, to bring you to your homeland. You want to stop in the middle, Avapi Shalashem Shemaim Hukas. Hakol tzorich mida, there has to be restraint. There must be balance. V'chein b'sechik shol mitzvah lo yachik. Similarly, when it comes to rejoicing in the mitzvah, everything has to be balanced. Simchas Torah is not a time to get stone drunk. Purim is not a time to act in an undignified way, to walk around, to walk in the streets and make a chil Hashem and behave in ways that are not proper in the ways of our Ben Torah, their Cheretz. Every Midah requires balance. Perish Oysa Misa B'roif Schoik Al Yarchik HaKas Adrab. You should not distance Kas. Kas is maybe necessary when it comes to doing a mitzvah. Always, basically, there has to always be balance. A very simple principle, but the main Chiddush I would look over here is how it connects the dots and tells us the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu's own grandson was occupied in such a disgraceful profession. Next halach, Kuf Lamed Ches, b'chol derochav shel adam nira he'ach yase mitzvah. A person should prepare himself how to do a mitzvah, bein b'schoik, bein b'kas, eich yitochim Moshe l'shaber es haluchos haksuvim be'etzba elokim. How could Moshe Rabbeinu go and share the luchos that was written by Etzba Elokim? Elo l'takonas Yisrael osa. Omar, he said, Mutl sheye chayav v'al yu kol Yisrael chayavim. Better I should be guilty in destroying the handiwork of Hashem and not the Jewish people. V'chevon shechora apoy l'shem shamayim. His anger was justified. Hiskim imay HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'omolo yishar k'chacha sheshibarta. I give you a yashar koyach, that you have shared the lucha. So here he's shifting gears and he's saying that in sometimes it was justified. Only Hashem can be yoyred l'soiv daitoy shel adam to determine if their actions are 100% l'shem shemayim. When Moshe Rabbeinu came down and he saw they're worshipping the Egel, Moshe Rabbeinu could have taken this personally. How could it be that this people that I've nurtured, that I have invested my existence, can go and betray me and worship the Egel when I go to Shemayim? So when Moshe Rabbeinu shatters the Lucha, it's very, very easy to say to Moshe Rabbeinu that you are a criminal. You had no right to shatter Hashem's handiwork. V'alucha is masalukim heima. It's your negius. You're taking it too personally. You invested in these people. They betrayed you. They make you look bad. So you go and you break Hashem's luchas. Don't destroy the luchas. Just bring it back to Hashem. If you're angry at your people, bring it back. Bring the luchas back to Hashem or bury it temporarily or permanently and don't give it. But don't go destroy and be mechalel, profane the handiwork of Hashem. So that would be a very, very reasonable argument to complain against Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Asher Shibarta. The word Asher comes from the word Yishar, correctness. What you have done is correct. Yishar Koicha Asher Shibarta. Hashem, who is Yoyrei L'Sev Daita, can testify that Moshe Rabbeinu's anger was 100% L'Shem Shamayim. Okay, next.
Yet you see, when Aaron made the eagle, we have tinies on it.
In the Hanami, so to each his own.
Right.
Only Hashem can judge, can be Yoyrei L'Sev Daita, or to determine when a person is acting L'Shem Shri. You have the same exact act, the same exact technique, the same mode of behavior. One person, 100% L'Shem Shamayim. Another person, you're guilty. You're doing it for personal reasons. You have a vendetta against someone. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make that determination, can decide. We today are certainly uncertain of ourselves, and no one today can do anything which is suspicious in the eyes of people, because no one today can know for sure what they're all about. We all know that. Okay, this is just a trigger.
He did the same thing.
What?
He did also
what?
He wanted to do L'Shem Shemayim.
To do what?
To run away.
He didn't want to be the instrument of the Tzaris for Bnei Yisrael.
Every Navi, every situation is different. Okay, just over here, this triggered my link of my memory because I was blown away. I was listening to a shiur for Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson. He's a Lubavitcher, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And he was talking about this tragedy in Los Angeles, the shooting in Los Angeles with the rabbi. The rabbi went and everyone knows the story, but I didn't know this, is that the rabbi's finger was shot off. He lost one finger, another finger was severely damaged. So Rabbi Jacobson, he said that years ago, I don't remember all the details, I wasn't paying full attention. I was working when I was doing this, I wasn't paying full attention, but he said that this rabbi, many, many years ago, he had study groups, children, and he would teach them about Hashem, and he would sing with them the song. Everyone knows the song. What? His father made up the song?
Yeah.
Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. Up, up, down, down, right, left, all around, here, there, and everywhere, so can he be found. Okay? Everyone knows that song from their childhood. So when he would sing the song, he would go up, up, he would slow down, and he would point. Up, up. He would use that finger. Down, down, right, right, left, left. That finger was shot off. And what does that mean? I have no idea. I wasn't paying full attention to what he's saying. But it's a very, very frightening
message that Hashem is sending. Here we have a person that was Oisek in Kirvachoikim, in Malamed, to teaching Emunah to children. And you see the Kiddush Hashem that he made is just like off the charts. Even you see Trump, how moved. You saw with Trump, had a conversation with Trump, and I called him up. Just whoever, to be mechazik him for. And the end up, we spoke on the phone for how long? For half an hour. And then he invited him, and he calls him up. Like Trump was taken by him. And so we all, I wasn't taken by him. And like Hashem selected him. And his finger was taken away. It was, and that finger was the finger that he used to demonstrate to children that you have to be makir, that there's a Ribbono Shalom in this world. And he would sing that song, up, up, down, down, and he would point with that finger. And all of these children were inspired. And that finger? How do we understand this? It's something which I don't think there's an answer. But it's a tzaddik v'ra'aloi, and it's a message from Hashem. It's what?
Not polite,
especially to Hashem. I don't know. You're saying something negative. You can't say something negative. No, you can't say. If you want to go say, you say is Hashem is being toveya. Hashem is being toveya. You're not makir.
In this shul, what he said was, I can't point, so I'm appointing all of you to point for me.
Wow.
And everyone was macabre that.
See? How would that mean? It's not so simple. Yeah?
In the Chazal, he was the meturgamen.
Yeah.
And his tongue was on the ground.
Right. Chutzpah meturgamen.
Right.
And that's what caused Rabbi Meir Acher to go off the derech.
Yes.
Acher, he went off the derech when he saw the tongue of Chutzpah meturgamen on the floor. He was executed by the Goyim. And he said, Peh Shemabek Margolios, this tongue that was instrumental and inspiring and being Malame Torah to Klal Yisrael should lick the dust in the Bezoyin. There cannot be, there's something wrong, and this fellow, Rabbi Acher, Avuya, of course, Elisha ben Avuya, he went off the derech. So this is not a modern day Chutzpah HaMeturgamon. A person that was mamish. This is so Hashem is speaking to us. This is not a chutz haMeturgamon. Elisha ben Avuya can go off the derech because he saw his tongue on the floor. And here he had a person that was instrumental in inspiring talmidim by teaching them to be makir that Hashem is Hashem's meloich ol haaretz kevoidoi. And the finger he used, no different than the tongue, was taken away in such a grotesque and terrifying way. How do we understand this? This is a challenge to our generation. The Ribbono Shel Olam is a very great way of quoting something to go say it's because it's not by the point. You can't say that. That's not a derech haTorah to say that. It's Hashem is being toveya. We're living in times of very, very great hester upon him. Okay, let us now go further. That just triggered because over here it says that the luchos, L'shaberes haluchos haksuvim be'etzpa Elokim, happened during Yimei HaSfira. And Yimei HaSfira is we're counting down to the Kabbalah's HaTorah. What is the Kabbalah's HaTorah? The haluchos Masi Elokim Hema, which are written be'etzpa Elokim. Is there not a message here in Shemayim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not speaking to us? Very, very frightening. Okay, let's now go to halacha kuf lamites. Im shamat ish echem lamit hoz l'salmidei, loy toima loy tos ato oimer. Im hu misbayesh bozef. You are listening to a shir. The rabbi is giving a shir. And the rabbi is saying over the mishnayis. And he's learning the wrong pshat. He's in front of the whole oilam and he's learning a mishnah, he's saying pshat. And you know that mishnah, you wrote the book. You're the editor for Art School. You wrote the Perush Adam in Mishnais, and you know that he's saying the wrong pshat in the Mishnah. Do not get up in front of the Olam and say, Rabbi, you're making a mistake. You're dead wrong. You don't know how to learn. If the rabbi will be embarrassed. don't spill his blood. The Sefer Chasidim does not mince words. By you getting up in public and saying to the rabbi, Rabbi, you're making a big mistake. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know how to learn. You're causing him embarrassment. He will turn white, or his skin will turn whiter than it was before. And that is a bizrayu de shvicha astam, and that's murder. Lo yoimar adam lachaver hapornya hakiv. You have to be not to embarrass another person. Lo yoimar adam lachaver bikesh ish ploni biti livnoi b'mneisha mispayesh v'acher. A person should not say that so-and-so wants his bikesh ish ploini bitoi livnoi. Guess what? Amish once saw this. The guy is not just a smart guy. I actually once saw a guy who was bragging how a certain boy wanted his daughter. A certain boy wanted his daughter. And the other person did not have such good mazel. His daughter was not as popular. Okay, everyone struggles in shidduchim, and when one person, you have a boy who appears, no one knows what the future is, but a prospect. There's a boy which everyone is chasing after, and one person breaks to his fellow, this boy, he wants to go with my daughter, and the other one has a daughter who the boy does not want to go out with. That is an enormous, painful experience. Okay, the pain in Shidduchim is not to be believed. I have someone, it's amazing, that guy was a very cool guy, very cool, calm, collected guy. I know him very well. I work with him, I learn with him. And the only thing he really gets uptight about is Shidduchim for his daughter. His young daughter, daughter's like, you know, a young daughter. If someone says, just says, boo, he really, really loses control. And obviously the sensitivity to these matters is a very, very extreme. And here you see the Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid way ahead of his time. Okay, way before Fiddler on the Roof. And look what he writes over here. He writes, when it comes to Shidduchim, have some sensitivity. If you have a daughter who's popular and the boys want, and the guy sitting next to you in shul has a daughter that's not as popular, and people are having a hard, and she's having a hard time, don't brag. Don't let on. Don't make him feel that for you, Shidduchim is easy, and for he has a hard time. Have some sensitivity. So-and-so wants my daughter for his son. The other fellow who does not have such an easy time with his daughter is embarrassed. And this fellow has gaiva and has pleasure. Look how fortunate I am, how successful I am that people want to marry my children. Next, a person that controls his gaiva and humbles his, lowers his eyes. The ruchai and his spirit mehabit el nashim, the enoi medaber dvarim b'teilim, and does not speak dvarim b'teilim, the soivel kas, the enoi miskoi, the oisik b'tor masim toivim. You know such people, Rabbi Say. You're able to be a malach elokim, not to be arrogant, not to be humble, not to go be involved in the taivas hanoshim, and not to speak dvar b'teilim, and to control your anger, and not to be balgaiva, and to learn Torah, and do maisim toivim. Rabbi Yisrael, you know such people? I don't know. who are we discussing over here? Malach Elohim? La'osil lovoi yihye lifanim imalachi hasharis. He will be greater than malachi hasharis. Aleim nemar ko'es ye'omer li'yakov uli Yisrael. It will be said to the Jewish people, ma Po'alkel. So in Derech Agav, the Sefer Chasidim is teaching us the pshat in this pasuk. I mean, it's obvious, this the concept. If you're a tzaddik, and you don't do averos, you learn Torah, and you do chesed, and you're humble, and you don't have a reputation as being a person that's oisik nashim, you're a tzaddik. Okay, what else is new? Okay, what else is new?
So the least we gain over here is pshat, and it says in the pasuk ko'es at that time and period, la'asalava, it will be said to the Jewish people, what's going on in Shemayim? Can you please tell me, you know, tell me the inner secrets. Tell me the conversations that's taking place in Shemayim. So if you would not know what it says in Sefer Chassidim, who would you think is the subject of this pasuk? I would assume it's the Goyim. It's the Umay Sa'ila. The Goyim, they want to know, tell us, Jews, you have Ruach HaKodesh, you learn Torah, Mashiach is here, you know what is happening on the other side of the fence. You know what's going on the other side of the curtain. Tell us about Shemayim, in the Pamalia Shemayim, what is taking place. And Klal Yishol will say to the Goyim, we'll tell you what you need to know. Otherwise, mind your own business. If you need to know, it's classified. If you need to know something, we'll let you know. Right? Isn't that the Sibyl Pshat in the Pasuk? I think that's how the average person, probably most of the Farshim, learn Pshat in the Pasuk. The Sefer Chassidim says it's not the Pshat in the Pasuk. The subject of this verse are the Malachi Hashores. The Goyim, forget about them. That's not important. They don't have to know anything. The Malachi Hashores, that's where they live. They live in Shemayim. They will come to us humanoids, us the Klal Yisrael, ask us, can you please tell us what's going on in Shemayim? Because you have security clearance that we don't have. You have a higher degree of security clearance in the innermost workings of Shemayim that we do not have access to. Why not? Because we live, because we have the nisyonos of this world, and a person that's able to overcome the nisyonos and have all these beautiful milas, they will be able to know, they'll be privy to the secrets, and even the malachi hashores are going to come to ask in Klal Yisrael what's going on. Okay. Now Rav Michal is going to wants to make an announcement. We'll take a break, and then we're going to learn about Lag Ba'omer. Rav Michal, we call upon you to address us.
No, just a quick announcement.